to The Backlog, a podcast hosted by Adaptivate. I'm Lynnae Marks, the People and Culture Manager. Adaptivate partners with clients to accelerate outcomes by implementing new, transformative ways of working. We are a global firm with offices in North America, Europe, Asia, and Australia. Today, our guest is Mary Ann Gattolaro. Mary Ann received her master's degree in counselling from Syracuse University in 1997. She is a nationally certified rehabilitation counsellor, specialising in developmental disability services, as well as a licensed professional counsellor in the state of Texas. Mary Ann has special training in autism spectrum disorders using cognitive behavioural methods. Additionally, she is an ADHD certified clinical service provider. She has worked in schools, in instructional support, as well as a special services counsellor and a learning specialist. In therapy centres as a counsellor, parent trainer, employee trainer, and was involved in the development of programs for the autism community. Mary Ann has authored and presented the Five Sense Thinking series of workshops on topics such as experiencing autism, depression, ADHD, and more. Mary Ann is married with three adult sons, one of whom is significantly impacted by autism. She loves spending time with her family, watching funny movies and psychological thrillers. Welcome, Mary Ann.
Thank you, Lynnae. Thank you for having me.
It's so wonderful to have you here with me or with us today. And I'm going to jump right into it. Why are we talking about autism today?
Perfect. Why are we talking about autism today? Well, today is a time, it's almost April. April 2nd is our World Autism Awareness Day. It's a day dedicated to help people recognize autism, what it is, what it's about, what it looks like, and most importantly, how we can coexist with those with autism to help them live more productive and meaningful lives.
Wonderful. So can you tell me a bit more about autism? What is autism?
Autism is a very complex neurodevelopmental disorder. It's a spectrum disorder, so it can range from very, very mild to very profound. Sometimes people with autism will present as totally non-speaking and needing functional support with day-to-day living skills. And other times, those who are diagnosed with autism might just have some social differences and might not be able to carry a conversation as one normally would. So autism is complex. It does vary. It affects social and communication skills mostly. There are differences in the way people think, feel, and behave when they have autism. It often involves some type of repetitive behavior. Although it's a clinical diagnosis, those with autism also present with a variety of physical symptoms more often than others. And these can include things like gastrointestinal upset, seizures, even brain inflammation markers that those with autism don't have typically. Autism is quite a prevalent condition. So the CDC just published a new prevalence rate, and now it's one of every 36 persons are diagnosed with autism. So this is striking and quite alarming that year to year it does go up in prevalence. It was one in every 10,000 about 10 or 15 years ago. So it's quite a difference from year to year.
Do you think part of that increase in number is because we are becoming more aware of autism and more people are seeking a diagnosis than in years before?
It's a good question. And I think the answer is it's really multidimensional. So I think part of it is reporting. Of course, we're getting better at diagnosing. But if you ask any school teacher or any therapist, it is clear that the number of people with autism who are seeking treatment are far greater than they used to be. So it is also something that is just rising, like other conditions that you hear about, like breast cancer, for example, or asthma. The autism rate is increasing, and it's not just a reporting issue, although that might be one part of the puzzle.
Okay. So how does autism affect the workplace, and what are some of the challenges for people on the spectrum in the workplace?
Yeah. Individuals with autism, they do experience substantial challenges to attaining competitive integrated employment opportunities, one to match their talents, their interests, and their strength areas. They experience substantial underemployment and unemployment, according to the research literature. Social and communication deficits make it very difficult for those with autism in the workplace. There are just so many unwritten social rules that we expect that don't come naturally to those with autism and that might be very uncomfortable for them. One example is eye contact. Eye contact, it is an unwritten social norm that we have to make eye contact with whomever we're speaking with. Those with autism, being that their sensory systems are so much more pronounced than the typical individual, it might be painful for them to actually make eye contact with someone else, and it could be very uncomfortable. But sometimes that doesn't even get them through the interview process. Because we can surmise that, okay, if this person's not looking at me or if they're reluctant to shake my hand, then they're not a relational person. So therefore, they're not employable. So getting through the interview is one of the biggest challenges that our individuals with autism have. But we often overlook the talents that they have just because they can't really look you in the eye. There's other parts of their sensory system that are hyper-focus, their ability to pay attention to detail and catch things that the typical mind wouldn't be able to catch is amazing at times. And I believe that their loyalty is also something that shouldn't be dismissed. So their ability and adapt, their ability to adapt to change in general is difficult. So they find change difficult. They're creatures of habit normally and routine. And when change happens, sometimes we do have to give them a little bit of notice, but at the same time, they don't like to miss work. They like to show up at the same time every day. They like to be on time. They like to have the same routine every day. So I find from interviewing employers of those who employ people with autism that they are the most loyal employees that they come across.
Do you know, just out of interest, are there specific industries or specific areas of work that autistic people are drawn to, mm-hmm. or that they are really successful in?
Right. It's definitely not a social type of yes. of job, like waitress or someone who has to be a greeter or something like that. But I find that at least with the clients that I see, I could name some jobs that they're in that they really love, like data analysis and data analytics, that sort of thing, where they look at data, they input data, they like to figure things out. They're really good at matrix reasoning, like putting visual spatial skills into play. So really just understanding the flaws in a system. So they're able to really take all the pieces, put them together and analyze it in such a way that is a little bit different than those who don't have autism. I find that they find holes in systems a little bit easier because of the way that their mind works. So I think anything that involves data or data analysis is one area that I find that they're really proficient at and very, very good at. Also, yeah. Things like coding and developing systems like video games and things like that are jobs that I find that I come across more often than others.
Very interesting. So what could we do to ensure that Adaptivate and other workplaces, that neurodiversity is supported and celebrated?
Yeah. I feel like what Adaptivate can do is just, number one, recognize that just because someone is diagnosed with autism doesn't mean that they can't add so much value to the workplace. These are brilliant individuals who often their performance can exceed the norm. So number one, recognize that you might be passing up someone who's brilliant, who might be able to catch things that others can't. Also, make sure that they're not placed in a position where there's too many interpersonal skills or social relations. These could be very uncomfortable positions for someone with autism. I feel like also just making the environment one that's a little bit more comfortable to their sensory systems. So if they do have to be in the office, paying attention to the noise, paying attention to the lighting and things like that, that might be too much for their sensory system, can make a more adaptable workplace for them. If they are going to interview, making them more comfortable by giving them maybe advance notice of questions. And this is okay. You can give everyone advance notice of questions, but these are the types of questions that we're going to ask. And here are some people that you're going to be meeting with. Let me show you their pictures. This is the building that you'll be coming to. Let me show you a map of the building. And these are the rooms. So that way they can adjust before they come in to the overload that their brains might be experiencing, not only with meeting new people in a social situation, but being in a new environment. So it will give them time to adjust to the change. Also just recognizing the loyalty of those with autism. And oftentimes they don't seek jobs for the money. They do honestly seek jobs for the job. They really want the job because they like doing the work. Also, understanding that neurodiversity is just not something that they could shut off and turn on. It's something that is biological. It's something that is irreversible and something that they have to cope with like any other disability. So they have to find ways around it, and just allowing them the time to adapt to the environment, I think, would be great for Adaptivate to consider. Also, just some interview questions. I know this might be funny, but sometimes they take things quite literally. And so, for example, a common question might be, how do you compare yourself to other candidates? And they might say, well, I don't know, I've never met the other candidates. So just understanding that some of their answers might be very literal, and they sometimes don't understand jokes and certain things like typical people, neurotypical people would. So understanding that their answers might be a little bit atypical, and I find humor in it. So I laugh with my adults with autism all day. They have a great sense of humor, but there might be some things that they just don't quite get, like metaphors are very hard for them to understand.
Mm-hmm. So how would we be able to, and is it necessary for us to identify beforehand whether somebody has autism or not? Is it just, because it's not something we ask, you know, upfront?
Right, it's not something you would ask upfront.
No.
You know, lots don't even like to divulge the fact that they have autism. So usually, I mean, I could tell if someone has autism, but if they are reluctant to make eye contact, or they are reluctant to shake your hand, and they do seem odd in their interpersonal relations, you might guess maybe this person has autism, but I'm still going to give them the opportunity to interview. And it's, you know, this is good for all interviews, but sometimes show me what you know instead of tell me what you know. Types of assessments are better for those with autism. But I do think that there might be telltale signs where you could surmise maybe this person may have autism, but it's not something that you can directly ask.
And that is a good point, because and the purpose of this conversation today and the purpose of Autism Awareness Day is to create that awareness for people about what is autism, how does it present, so when they do interact or come across some of these behaviors, to be less judgmental, to not jump to conclusions of people, but just to give people an opportunity in hearing them out in a different way and understanding that there might be other things going on that you're not aware of.
Correct. Yes. And so just those unwritten social rules, sometimes we have to pay attention to them as employers and say, you know, why am I not giving this person the next step opportunity? Is it because they're not looking at me, or because I feel like they can't perform in the job? Is it because of what they don't know, or is it because, you know, they're doing something that I think that they should be doing, like looking at me or shaking my hand? So we have to pay attention to that.
There might also be people who are undiagnosed, who don't know for themselves that they,
And they all have trouble with, you know, again, the statistics these days are about, it's over 60% of individuals with autism who are unemployed or underemployed, versus I think the typical population, the statistics are about 8% or less of under and unemployment. So there's a vast difference in those statistics. So obviously they're not getting the job, and mostly they're not even getting through the interview. They also have trouble being promoted. Again, if we think about it, employers are more apt to promote the most relational individuals. And we don't think about it, but when you do, that's usually the case. Those who have, you know, good relationships with others and good social skills are often the ones who get the promotions. So that's another issue I see in the workplace with autism. Mm-hmm.
Marianne, what is your wish for the autistic community?
And that's a good question, a big question. I feel like it's a question that I really have to do justice on for our community of those with autism, but I probably can answer it best as the mom of a young adult with autism. And so what I wish for him and the autistic community is, one, that they are understood, that they are recognized for who they are, appreciated for their differences, accepted. I wish that they can have friends, and that they can have community just like the rest of us. I feel that I wish I could give them more opportunities than they're awarded. I wish that their environment can be a little bit more tolerable for them. I wish I can just strip them away of their pain. I know that there's a lot of pain in their day-to-day existence with the overload of sensory experiences, but I can't do that. So if there's anything that I wish for, I wish that all of us can be more educated and aware that these folks are brilliant, that they are valuable, and that there are things that we could do to help them tolerate their days better, whether it be, you know, turn the lights on a little bit lower or talk a little bit softer. These people, just as any others, they want friends. And so if we could just be a friend to them, I think that would make a world of difference, and just helping them feel worthy of joy in their lives, just as much as you and I are worthy of that.
But part of educating people, do you have a podcast recommendation for us people could go listen to?
I do. I feel that there's a great website and company called Divergent. Divergent is a company that helps those with autism become employable, but it also helps employers employ those and understand those with autism. So if you go to divergent.com, it's DAIVERGENT.com, you can click on employer and really understand more about individuals with autism in the workplace and the challenges that they deal with. I believe they also have podcasts that people could listen to. I think it's a great and very current website that has been recently created for this very purpose. I feel that Temple Grandin is a great resource. She is an individual with autism and a very well-known autism advocate who is able to help the world understand autism through her eyes. And so she really does take you through what it's like to have autism. And I feel that a lot of people can learn a lot from her. She does have podcasts and books and materials that you can refer to. Also, there is Matthew Harrison has a podcast, and it is about work and autism. So if you Google Matthew Harrison, you can look at his podcasts in relation to autism in the workplace, and that can also help you understand and be more sensitive to the differences of the neurodivergent people with autism in the workplace. So those are the recommendations that I have.
That is amazing. Thank you very much. And thank you for your time today. We really appreciate taking the time to share with us. And we feel very honored to have learned from you today.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is well documented that diversity increases productivity, that it improves employee morale, that it drives access to new markets and enhances corporate image. Employers should be attuned to the benefits, possible benefits, and even competitive advantages that may be possible from having employees who think differently. And I'm going to end with a quote from Tim Goldstein, who is a neurodiverse communication specialist. He says, "Most people understand why it is that we want diversity in the workplace. Why is it we want people from different cultural backgrounds, from different life experiences? Because they bring different perspectives. They bring different ways of thinking about things. Well, the reality is neurodiversity is just an invincible part of diversity that we haven't talked about yet. It is diversity." Now, if you have enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the backlog and leave a review. You can find Adaptivate on all socials, including LinkedIn, Instagram, and YouTube.